This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. The title of today's khutbah is وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي, and I am the best of you to my family. But we'll begin with something else. When we're watching the news and we see the actions of political leaders here or abroad, and we see lies, and we see corruption, we see disregard for human lives, we find it, as we're watching that, we find it distasteful, and we find it unfathomable how someone can reach that point. The question is, what if someone put you today or tomorrow in charge of a nation, and you have full power and full control? So tomorrow, they put you in a nation, and you're completely in charge, and you have all the power. Would you run it with justice, fairness, and equity? Would you show favoritism to people? Would you have a lot of political prisoners? Would you run it like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar? Or would you run it like Bashar al-Assad or Mubarak or Qaddafi, or fill in the blank with your favorite tyrant? No doubt, every single one of us, as we're sitting here, we are positive that we would run it like Abu Bakr and Umar. We would be fair, there would be justice, we would take care of the poor, we would take care of widows and orphans and minorities. And no one, as they're sitting here, is already planning to rip off the country and steal the wealth and give it to their family members and show favoritism and torture people and murder people. So the question is that we need to ask is, in the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in charge now. No doubt every one of us, either you're a manager at work or a supervisor, and you have people who are working under you, or you run a business, or you're a family man and you have a wife and children, or you have siblings that you take care of that you're older than and home. In the places, in the small areas where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put you in charge today, do you behave like a mini Abu Bakr and a mini Umar? Or are you just a smaller version of the same people that you see on the news and you're appalled by their behavior? Are you a mini Qaddafi or a mini Mubarak or a mini Bashar al-Assad? Or do you behave like Abu Bakr in the small places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put you in charge now? Because if you are not like Abu Bakr right now in the small places where Allah Azza wa Jal put you in charge, What makes you think that if tomorrow they put you in charge of a nation, you would run it like Abu Bakr? And when it comes to, let's pick the Muslim lands, how is it, is it the worst of the population? Always fights and struggles until they become the leaders in the Muslim lands? Or is it everyone else is probably just as corrupt and just as bad, but they just haven't been given the opportunity? And I don't know the answer to that. But these leaders, they didn't come out from outer space. They came from amongst the population. So is it that the worst of humanity always finds their way to the top? Or are they just like everybody else? They haven't been given that opportunity. Are we just like those people? We just haven't been given the opportunity? Because a lot of times we behave like a miniature version of them in our homes, in the way we run our businesses, sometimes even in how we deal with people in the community. But yet we'd like to imagine that we're going to be like Abu Bakr and Umar if we were in charge. There was one documentary where they're interviewing serial killers and murderers. And the most amazing thing is that every single person, every one of those murderers and serial killers, when they asked them, are you a good person? Every single one of them quickly and immediately answered yes, without a doubt. So everybody always thinks they're a good person. So how do you know if you really are a good person? And there are certain measures in Islam, and you weigh yourself against these measures to see if you're a good individual or not. So from the hadith we quoted in the beginning, we're going to be talking about treating women. I was in one of the states many years ago, and the imam took me to his house for breakfast before Jum'ah khutbah, and I'm scheduled to give the Jum'ah khutbah. So I'm dressed in a full suit and tie, and when we parked in front of his masjid, he said, I have a favor to ask you. Can you take off the tie? So I said, is the community uncomfortable with the tie? He said, yes, the community doesn't like the tie. So I took it off. It's just a dangling garment. لا تعمل لي حلال ولا حرام. It's just a dangling piece of garment. I took it off for the sake of the khutbah. A year later, I came back, I asked about the imam, everyone's face changed. So when we left the gathering, he said, why did everyone's face change when I asked about the imam? They said that he had kept his wife a prisoner in his home, and one day she escaped and ran out of the house and ran to the neighbors, and they called the police and they came and saved her from this imam. Yeah, and he has a problem with the tie. And by the way, the community didn't have any problem with the tie. He had a problem with the tie. So he has an issue with the tie, and he keeps the mother of his children a prisoner in his home. This is what we're dealing with. And that's why An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the measure of a good man is how he treats his wife. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي. The best of you are the best of you to their wives. And I am the best amongst you to my wives. So the scholars say, why did An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make this the measure of a good person? How you treat your wife, not how you treat everyone else in the masjid and in the community. Because he said, everyone can be nice and gentle in the community, smiling and showing signs of outer taqwa and iman. But then he goes home and he's a monster with his wife. But the scholars said that if you are well-mannered and decent with your wife at home, you're most likely well-mannered outside of the home as well. But what are the chances, or it's easy to be well-mannered in public and a monster with your family at home. So the measure of a good person is how he treats his wife. And you'll be surprised how many times in our community, men verbally and physically abuse their wives. You would be surprised. So many respectable sisters will come to us, their husbands hit them regularly, on a regular basis. Or they destroy them with their words. Or they spit in their face, in front of their children. Or they make them feel worthless. In our community, a man won't let his wife leave the house just to go to the grocery store without calling him for permission first. For permission first, she has to call him at work to give her permission just to go to the bread, to go get bread from the grocery store. And you think you own a slave, Inta? Or you think she's a child? Grown woman. In her father's home, She could go out, get to the store. When she was at the university, she could go purchase whatever she wants. Now she married Hadratak, and now she can't leave the house without your permission. Oh, or they make them work. So many cases. They make them work so they can take all the money. Her wealth is for her. She doesn't have to give it to you. What are you a man for? They work, Sheikh, and they think I'm a fool. Sheikh, tell us about the rights of the husband. Al-An, you want rights? Now you want to know about rights? Yani, you're going to come into my office while you abuse her, and I'm going to give a lecture pumping you up, talking about the rights of the husband? As one Sheikh said, he said, everybody wants to quote Islam when it's going to secure their right. Everybody wants to give you a hadith about the importance of the husband. The wife gives you the hadith about being gentle to the women. Everybody wants to quote Islam and hadith and ayat when it's going to secure their rights. But nobody wants to quote Islam when it's going to take the rights of others from you. And this is exactly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the hypocrites in Surah An-Nur. Allah Azza wa Jalla says about the hypocrites, وَيَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ وَأَطَعْنَا. The hypocrites will come and they will say, we believe in Allah and in the Messenger and we obey. ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُم مِّن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Then a group of them leaves after that. وَمَا أُولَئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And they are not the believers. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And if they're called to Allah and His Messenger, for His Messenger to judge between them. Yani now, the hypocrites are called and there's going to be a dispute and the Prophet ﷺ is going to judge between them. So, إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. A group of them will turn away. They don't want the judgment because they know it's going to take someone else's right from them that they took unfairly. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, أَفِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ أَمِرْتَابُ. Here are the options. Either there is disease in their heart, or they have doubt, أَمْ يَخَافُونَ أَنْ يَحِيفَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. Or that they afraid, أَنْ يَحِيفَ يَعْنِ يَمِيلُ. That they're afraid that Allah and His Messenger will be unjust and biased against them. بَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Rather, they are the ones who are the evildoers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the only way the believers behave in a situation like this. Innama adatu hasr, يعني it limits. In when you say innama, it means this is the only way. This is the only response. This is the only answer. Innama kana qawla al-mu'minin idha du'u ila Allahi wa rasulihi liyahkuma baynahum an yaqulu sami'na wa ata'na wa ulaika humul muflihun. The only response, the only answer you get from the believers when they're called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them is that they say, we hear and obey. And they're the ones who will be successful. So the hypocrite only wants, and in another part of Surah An-Nur, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِن يَكُلْ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ يَأْتُوا إِلَيْهِ مُذْعِنِينَ يَعْنِي مُسْرِعِينَ طَائِعِينَ. If the truth is with them, if the right is with them, oh, now they want Islam. And so they come rushing for judgment. This is how the hypocrites are. This is how a lot of us behave. A man will abuse his wife, but he wants to hear about the husband's rights. Or if women also are not free of this. Yani, a woman is getting a divorce from her husband, she wants to take half his wealth. Is this your right? Half his wealth? This doesn't even make sense. Yani, as one of the mashayikh said, if your husband died today, you wouldn't get half his wealth. If he died today, she would split his wealth with his heirs. She wouldn't get half. And now while he's alive, you want to take half? But when they're given that option, you tell them, that's not the judgment in Islam. Well, this is the law of the land. Lesh, just like the hypocrites, will prefer whatever will get them more. They don't care what is the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Everyone's a good Muslim when it's a beautiful day. Everyone is a good Muslim when it's a beautiful day. It's about being a Muslim when it's a rough day. It's about being truthful and honest when you're the one that the rights are going to be taken from you to give into the rightful owners. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنِّي أُحَرِّجُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَقَّ الضَّعِيفَيْنِ. أحرج يعني ألحق الحرج اللي هو الإثم. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, in other words, I am warning you severely from violating the rights of these two that are weak or in a weak position. Or I attach sin or make you blameworthy if you violate the rights of two who are in a weak position. اليتيم والمرأة, the orphan and the woman. And we know why the orphan is weak. And we know that the woman can be in a very weak position. And some people, they hear this hadith, خلاص. No. And these same people, you understand, the people being abused now are women. People who are having their rights taken away from them, they're women. Because they could be in a position of weakness. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, I warn you severely. And I'm attaching blame to anyone who takes away or violates the rights of these two, the orphan and the woman. And this is what we're doing all the time in our communities, abusing our women physically and verbally. It is rampant beyond what you imagine. And if someone is sitting here thinking I'm talking about them, don't worry, relax. I'm not talking about you. There are many, many cases. Many cases with the hitting and the spitting and the verbal abuse. But the fact that you think I'm talking about you means something is wrong with you. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. They say it takes the average woman 12 years to leave an abusive relationship. 12 years before she finally says I've had enough and she steps out of that relationship. And many times we see cases where the woman says I want to stay for the sake of the children. For the sake of the children. But a lot of times, this for the sake of the children thing, this is not the best thing for the sake of the children. يعني, the husband is always verbally abusing her and abasing her and spitting in her face in front of her children. Or they're fighting with each other, screaming at the top of their lungs constantly. The children are raised in this environment where they hear the cursing and the screaming and yelling. And yet, they want to stay together for the sake of the children. طيب, is this best for the children? Allah, it's best. كل واحد احترم حاله. Everyone go live alone, and then they meet and they see each parent whenever they see it, but they don't live in a house of turmoil and anxiety and yelling and screaming. That's best for the children. Abusing the mother of your children, especially in front of her of your children, that will affect them in many different ways. But in two very obvious ways. One, they lose respect for their mother. Because she is used like a rag, يعني, and stepped on by the father the whole time. She has no authority and no value to them. And the other part is you see them replicate this behavior later on. There was a wife beater in our community in Virginia. And he would beat his wife so severely that he would have to then drive her to the emergency room. And she can't speak English. He'll tell him she just fell down the stairs. And every week he has to take her to a different hospital. Because she can't keep falling down the stairs all the time. But his father used to do that to his mother. That's where they learn. So children are just sponges. They soak up your behavior, your treatment, your attitudes. So the measuring stick, what is a good person? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it, how you treat your wife. That's the measuring stick. And you see people with their eyes half closed and the taqwa is going to make them faint in the masjid. Then they go home and beat their wives and scream at their wives and use profanity against their wives. We've been seeing this for years. It's a known phenomenon. But the measure of a good man is how he treats his wife. The measure of a real man is how he treats his wife. And that's the measure that we put in Islam. Otherwise, we're just like the people we see in the news. And we're appalled at their behavior, and we critique their behavior, or we're just like the murderers and serial killers who are horrible human beings, but they all think they're good people. This will keep us realistic. Am I really a good person? based on measuring myself, weighing myself against these measures in Islam, not based on what I think of myself. Everybody thinks well of themselves. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. And to, of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فَاللَّهُمْ أَرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا وَارْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَهُ وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَارْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَهُ اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله